Whew.
So I didn't, you know, whenever Caleb was saying that he was going to go out of town and he needed somebody to step up, you know, Tyler's like, hey, we've led worship before. He said, Aaron can really sing well. And I didn't, he didn't tell the whole truth because he can sing pretty good himself. So, man, I just want to say most beyond all the talents and everything, one of the best parts of being able to be in a church like this is seeing the true heart of worship, to see the way that everyone is serving in such godly ways, and beyond just the good sound, to be able to see God's children glorifying his name. I'm just, so can we at least say a little thank you for them to come up and helping us out this week. And man, Ron sent me a message this week, had a little meme up there. I thought about getting the Eye of the Tiger going on. I'm prepping. I was ready to come up and say, man, it feels like forever since I've been up here in the pulpit. It's at least since last year, right? That's a good joke. Yeah. It didn't go over quite as well as I thought. It was a good, let me try it again. Man, it feels like I haven't been up here since last year. Yeah. Okay. All right, I tried. I tried my best. I tried to get the little icebreaker going on. Maybe it was the delivery. It would have been much better. I'll blame it on the sound guy, because Eye of the Tiger, it would have worked. We'll just blame it on Luke. Well, I am going to give you guys some fair warning and some excitement at the same time. One of the things that I really, really want to do this year is to just, for myself, I want to dig in deeper to God's Word. And one of the things, and I'll just tell you as being a pastor and coming in, there are some passages that are sometimes very daunting and scary for us to dig into and to proclaim. And we're just wondering what that would come across. What does that mean? How would the congregation take it? And to say that, I'm telling you my own sins and failures. Because as we learn today, every word in this Bible is God-breathed. Every single word, whether we understand it, or if we agree with it or disagree with it, or whatever it is, it doesn't really matter what our personal thought process, because it is God's divine word, breathed out, spoken, and written down for us to be able to take in, for us to be able to understand. So we're going to do something a little different this year. In order to not be able to go back and have these topical ideas and to have, hey, that's in the news, let's talk about it, so we don't have any of those issues, and also to build us up as a congregation. We know that one of the things that we're going to be starting here soon is Ron's been working on a program for a discipleship program for the church. Our elders are going to be meeting. We are wanting to grow in the knowledge of Christ. We want to grow in the knowledge of the gospel. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to go with the book of Hebrews. And today we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. And we're going to go through the entire book in the upcoming weeks. We're going to read every passage, whether it seems relevant to us at the time or not, if it seems daunting to the pastor or not, it doesn't matter. We are going to go through the entire book of Hebrews this year, starting today. And I'm excited for that. I'm excited for us to be able to learn and to grow together as a church. So if you truly want to get the most out of this year, this experience of going through this series, you guys will know each week exactly where we're going to start next week. So as a church, I challenge you guys to dig in to the Word even more. That each week we get in and we don't only read the passage that we talked about this past Sunday, but we read and prepare and study for the passages that we get into next Sunday. And then when we come out of the book of Hebrews, we have a better knowledge of who God is and who His Son is. Let's start by reading the first three verses in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, starting verse 1. It says, "Long ago God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir to all things and made the universe through him. The Son is the radiance of God, God's glory, and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I ask that that you speak through me, Lord, and you just use what you have already created to proclaim your gospel, Lord. I thank you for loving us and being with us. I ask that you build us up in wisdom and knowledge of you and allow us to have the boldness to go out and proclaim your name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So as we go through, one of the things that we really want to get started and learn about is, first and foremost, before we get any backstory of who wrote, when it was written, I said something very key here. Very, very key. It is really important that we know that everything in this Bible is God breathed. As a matter of fact, in 2 Timothy, we've got Paul reading in chapter 3, verse 16, says, "All scripture is breathed out by God." That means everything written down here, even though human hands may have written specifically those words down, everything in here is God using us through the Holy Spirit to portray his word, to speak his word, to use his word, to promote his word, to allow us to know his word. Now, one of the things as we go through the book of Hebrews that is up for question, who specifically did God write to, or use to write the book of Hebrews? And there are all kinds of debates and discussions. We have a lot of people that says, man, when we read the context of the book of Hebrews, as we get through the book, we'll say, man, this sounds a lot like Paul. As a matter of fact, it talks about all of the bad things that's going on and how we should be able to succeed through those things, overcome the hardships. Sounds a lot like Paul. And many people think that it could be Paul. However, if it was Paul, there is one key thing missing in the book of Hebrews that Paul does in every other letter. Paul does not proclaim himself as the writer of the book of Hebrews, and yet he does in every other way, in every one of his letters. There's also something else that goes slightly away from the thought that it could be Paul, and it is the fact that Paul was kind of like one of us. He just spoke in modern tongue. When he wrote his letters, it wasn't something very poetic or anything like that. It was just Paul's letters written down in a way that me and you would speak to each other. However, the book of Hebrews is considered a little higher tongue in the speech that came from more educated, I'm not going to say more educated than Paul, but more high-level speaking in the Greek language. There would have, if anybody knows, and this, if Elijah was here, it'd make more sense, but a couple of you would get this. It'd be the difference. Does anybody know who my good friend Josh Hayes is? Okay, my good friend Josh Hayes is a buddy I grew up with, and everything that he spoke was accurate, but half the time it just was up above everyday speech. And we'd also say, man, you're sounding a lot like Josh today. You use a lot of seminary words and the eloquent way in which you say stuff. I didn't get it, whereas you get a lot of ain'ts and maybes from me. Paul spoke in a way that was much more common than when the book of Hebrews was written. The book of Hebrews is much more eloquent in its Greek style, so more than likely, not Paul. Well, if it's not Paul, then what other ideas do we have on who it could be? The book of Hebrews tells us that the author himself got secondhand knowledge. So directly from someone that had been there with Jesus. So more than likely, he would have been talking to an apostle, right? Or he would have been talking to a disciple of Jesus. So this would have had to have been somebody that wasn't directly linked with Jesus, but was directly linked with somebody that knew Jesus. Also, he speaks of Timothy in the book of Hebrews, which tells us that he would have somehow had some sort of relationship, probably at least knowledge of Paul. So we get into so many different ideas here. There's a name that comes up, the name Apollos. And the book of Acts says he was an eloquent man, that he would travel around with Barnabas and he would have a lot of discussions, and the way he wrote would have been like this. And even though I am not 100% sure, I would go more towards the leaning of someone like Apollos. But in the end of that full discussion, that is for our knowledge alone, for us to see how God uses us. In the end, the hands that wrote them are not as important as the creator that created the hands and spoke and wrote through those hands. In the end, we cannot be 100% sure who wrote this book. We do have some good ideas on what time the book was written. We know that there was firsthand or secondhand knowledge, so the author spoke to somebody that had directly had a relationship with somebody that had a relationship with Jesus. We also know that through the writings, there were some things that were going on in the Christian church. Some things that for us can be very, very relevant. See, the Christian church, these were Jewish Christians. So they were Jews that believed in Christ, and they were constantly being beaten up and battered and talked bad about and asked and threatened and in every possible way to come back to the full Jewish faith, to go back to the old way of believing. We know that this was before the fall of Jerusalem, because that would have been in 70 AD. And 70 AD would have been, when the Jerusalem fell, would have been so important that the writer would have wrote about that. So we believe that the book of Hebrews was written somewhere between 64 and 70 AD. That would have been when Nero was coming in and attacking the Christians, and before the fall of Jerusalem, which would have also placed it in the right time frame for somebody to speak secondhand. Now, there can be some discussion on some ways before or after, but I believe it to be somewhere in the late 60 AD. So, then the next question is, where is this and why is it relevant? What is important about the book of Hebrews? Who is the author speaking to? And there are two major ideas. One are that he's talking to the Christians in Palestine, and one that he's talking to the Christians in Rome. Two different groups. However, the Christians in Rome were kind of... There was a lot of beating, there was a lot of talking down to, they were considered second-class citizens, there was a lot of what you're doing is wrong, there was a lot of we weren't going to serve you, you know, kind of like we're getting in today's society, where if you think in a godly way and you want to glorify God, then it's not, you can't be a part of this, you have to allow the culture to dictate what your religion is, right? And we get in that same way. However, in Palestine, which is still relevant today, there were people actually being murdered for their beliefs. And because the Bible doesn't, because Hebrews doesn't specifically speak about the Jews being murdered in this situation, we believe this to be more in Rome. So we've now have in Rome in the late 60 AD, written by somebody that we don't know, but in the end, God breathed for us. Now, I know that got into a little more than your standard sermon. However, if we are going to dig in to the Bible, if we're going to dig in to the book of Hebrews, and we're going to spend several months in this book, don't we want to know as much as we can? Don't we want to know why God chose these hands to reach out and write down His Word? Don't we want to know why it is still relevant to us? And one of the greatest parts in the book of Hebrews is the first four words, and really the third and fourth word in this verse 1. It says, long ago, God spoke. God spoke. In a time that we have this idea that the gospel changes, right? That society tells us we need to get with the times. We need to allow the Bible to mutate into what the current culture needs. And that is in no way biblical. The Bible is every bit as relevant on the day of creation as it is today. When God spoke, those initial words were every bit as relevant as God speaking to us today. God is not a changing God. Yet we seek for Him to change for us. We seek, if we read a passage that doesn't line up with our lifestyles, for us to say, well, that was back then, and that was because they were going through this. However, the same God that was there with Abraham is the same God that is with us. The same God that allowed Moses to part the seas and walked with Moses through those seas is the same God with us in our battles today. It is the same God. The same words that He spoke to Paul as he was in a jail cell and he was writing down everything that we need to know to grow closer to Christ, those exact words are every bit as important to us now as they were to the readers of Paul's letters at that point in time. God's word is an absolute in a time, in a culture where we say there aren't absolutes, that we can be or do or act like anything we want to act like. We, as long as we can change God's word, then we should be okay. That is not truth. Truth is living by God's word and knowing it as fact, whether we believe it or not, whether we want to live by it or not. So whenever we know that God spoke, He spoke truth, absolute truth. Now there are some So many of us think that when we have absolutes, that those are our walls. But I'm here to tell you, there is a phrase, and as we talk about this, a beautiful Savior. How much of a blessing is it to know that the words that Jesus spoke on the cross when He said, "It is finished," when the fullness of our sin was paid for, were absolutes? It wasn't just for the people standing around that believed in Him at that point in time. It's for us today. We equally need a Savior today as much as they did then. Now we get into a little something different as we go through, and the writer here writes, as long ago God spoke to the Father by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days He has spoken to us by His Son. The word long ago, or those words long ago, would be talking pre-Jesus. We're talking Old Testament. And in that time, we didn't have Jesus here with us. Jesus had not paid for the fullness of our sins yet. So long ago, He spoke through the prophets. And because of that, the prophets had become some sort of an idol to some people. Even to us, as we get preachers that are really important, and sometimes it can be our local pastor, it can be a pastor that we listen to on the radio, maybe we get on the internet or watch them on TV and we think so highly of them, maybe we buy their books and we put them high up. Yes, even guys like Spurgeon, we can label them as gods if we put them in that sort of hierarchy in life. And I'm saying that because some of us think that their words are so much more important than what they are actually talking about, which is the Creator and the Savior of the world. We have this picture in which none of us would say that Jesus is less than, but sometimes we really focus in that Paul's so important or that Moses is so important. And we have this picture, and we studied this a few weeks ago, but at the Transfiguration, we have Peter speaking, and if you guys want to, you can open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 17. I'm going to slowly go back here for just a minute, and we're going to show a time in which somebody placed Jesus on the same pedestal as some other people and the response that God had. It said, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured in front of them, and his face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. I will set up three shelters here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. I'll set up three shelters, three altars for you, Moses, and Elijah. We get in this form that we think that the Billy Gams or the R.C. Sproles or the whoever that we talk about, that these people are equal to the Creator of the universe's Son. We put them on such a pedestal. Some of us are so starstruck by these pastors, and even though they are godly men and they are great men that follow Christ, and yes, we need to try to become, in the way Paul said, closer to them, to be able to imitate their love for Christ, for us to grow closer to Christ in the way that they do, it is still not okay to put them on the same level. And here we have Peter in Matthew chapter 17 placing all three of these men in the same category. And God's response, he says, while he was still speaking, the words could not fully get out of his mouth because they were so wrong. Not in the thought of Peter was trying to deny who Christ was. He didn't fully understand who Christ was. Said, suddenly a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Don't listen to Elijah. Don't listen to Moses. Don't listen to R.C. Sproul. Don't listen to these guys unless they are speaking God's word. Listen to the word, not to the man who God used. See, we all fail. We all have things in our life that separate us from Christ. That's why it's such a huge deal. And then when we fail in life and people find out about it, that we get written off as trash. As a matter of fact, some of the greatest speakers of all time, after their death, we find out it was all just a hoax in some ways, we think. See, Moses and Elijah in this situation were still men. Jesus was God in the flesh. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And the response of these men should be the same response that we have when Jesus speaks to us, whether we were in the right or in the wrong, whether we think something is the way it should be or not. The response is, when the disciples heard this, when they heard that this was the Son of God, they fell face down and were terrified. When we come to a realization that we need to grow closer to Christ, to realize who Jesus is, we need to approach the Savior as humbly as we can. We need to realize that no matter what our personal thought process is, that God's absolutes mean more. That we don't make idols and gods of men, but that we only worship the Creator and the Savior of the universe. See, we had this old time way of talking about things, but now it says in the last days, in verse 2, it says, in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. So we learn some things about Jesus. We say in the last days, and even though we should be in a mindset that these are the last days, these last days have been here for 2,000 years. For 2,000 years, we have been in the last days. And not in the same way that we constantly go and proclaim, Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back. Yes, he is. However, we've been in the last days for 2,000 years because Jesus coming and being born on this earth and living the life that he did and then placing himself on the cross and the fullness of our sins being placed upon him completed the Old Testament. It completed what we need to have a relationship with God. Having Jesus as our Savior places us in a completion time period. How awesome, how amazing, how wonderful of it is it for us that we were born in the last days, not in the end of the world top last days, but in the last days that Jesus has already paid it all for us. It doesn't matter how far you think you are from him. It doesn't matter how hurt you are. It doesn't matter how difficult it seems. It doesn't matter how bad you think you are. It doesn't matter how low of yourself. It doesn't matter what yesterday brought. The question is, today, from now on, are you going to take another breath without the Savior of the world as your Savior? In these end days, it has already been completed for us. The question is Jesus Christ your Savior? Have you received grace through faith? Have you gotten that? Doesn't matter if we can speak all the boldest words in the world and everything, if we don't understand who Jesus is in the book of Hebrews, says that he is the completion. It also says here that he was there at the creation. So whenever Peter and all of these guys were walking around, they weren't just walking around with another man. They were there with the Son of God who was there at the beginning of creation. He was there as God spoke creation into the universe. We read this in verse 2, says that God had appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. He's been there, he was there, he always will be there, he always was there. In our darkest times, before us even and after us, there is a truth that we have, and that is Jesus Christ. The gospel was, is, and always will be. And then we have a little more depiction of who Jesus is. It says he is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature. He is the exact mold of God. Jesus is a visual, not only visual, but an actual representation, is God himself. If we want to know what the nature of God is, look at Jesus Christ. If we want to see the image of God, look at Jesus Christ. Jesus is the radiance of God. We can see how much we are loved by God through his Son, through salvation, through grace, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After making the purifications from sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Even though he came down here, and as we get finished today here, see, the old Jewish customs would have taught that Jesus may have been even a prophet. He may have been a really good prophet. And as the writers of Hebrews were trying to draw, or as the writers of Hebrews were trying to tell people, you need to sustain in your knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Savior. They're trying to encourage them in the same way that I want to encourage you today, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. That no matter what the world tells you, the gospel does not change. That in the same way that these Christians were being persecuted, that we may be persecuted today. It may come even worse than it is for us. And we know in parts of the world that people are giving their lives and still proclaiming Jesus, that this same Jesus, even though his body was beaten and bruised and was killed here for us, that the fullness of sin, of our sin, was placed upon him, and even though he was laid into the grave, that 3 days later, that same grave that he was laid into was empty. In the same way that even though our physical bodies may be laid into the grave, we may die one time, eternity, the grave and death does not hold us. If you don't understand that, then you don't fully understand who God is and who Jesus is. If you don't understand that after we pass from here, you don't have the knowledge that when you pass from here, that you can have eternity with Christ, that the grave cannot hold us either. The same power, as one of my favorite singers sings, the same power that raised Jesus from the grave flows through us. The question is, do we know him as our Savior? If you don't take another step, don't take another breath without calling out and saying, God, I know that I fail. I know that I do things that hurt you. I know that I don't look like the ideal Christian. I know that I have my faults. I know that I'm not eloquent in my speech. I know that I don't know everything biblically about you. I know that I haven't written every one of your words. I know that I have troubles with lust. I have troubles with lying. I have troubles with hurting people. Whatever those situations are, that we know those problems, it doesn't matter. The question is Jesus our Savior? Are you willing to lay and become your life down and become a new creation in Jesus Christ? One of the best parts last week that Jaden was able to call out to Jesus, and Jesus came into Jaden and loved him deeply, and he was saved by the grace of God last week. And if anybody wants to be a part of a celebration next week, Jaden and awesomely his sister Maddie as well want to be baptized and proclaim Jesus as their Savior next week. So if you want to come and be a part of that and celebrate with us as they show the world that they are followers of Christ, please come back next week. And if you want to say, hey, I want to know what that is, I want to know what God did in Jaden's life that allowed Jaden to call out to him, I want to know more about who that Savior is, I want to know more about what this baptism thing is, I want to know more about my Bible, if I want to know more about why it's important to gather with a group of believers that that and encourage me and pray for me. We've got several leaders here in the church that would love to speak to you, that would love to be able to answer questions, to get involved in your life, to share with you the gospel, to share with you how to share with others the gospel. If there's anything that this world needs, it's an absolute. And that absolute is a beautiful Savior. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your words that were breathed out. And Lord, that you used sinful, hurting, scared men and women to proclaim your gospel, Lord. I am so thankful that you were able to take a sinner, someone that deserves the fullness of your wrath, Lord. And I'm so thankful that you sent your son to love me even when I didn't deserve it. Because of your amazing nature and your amazing love for me, you sent your son, Lord. And if there is anything else that came out of this message, please allow us to proclaim to the world that there is hope and knowledge through your son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.